turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Genesis, chapter 37. Now, tonight I'm going to begin a series of sermons. I don't know if we'll take them every Sunday night or not, but we're going to have as much as we can. I want to try to stay on each Sunday night on the subject of Joseph, God's man in God's place. I don't think there's a better character in the Word of God to study than this man Joseph. And certainly he was God's man. And certainly he was in God's place. Now, he may not have understood all of the places that God put him and all the places that God sent him, but everywhere he was God's man. And I believe he was a man of character and a man of conviction. And in these past few weeks, God's been dealing with me concerning this study concerning Joseph. And when you come down to this thing of character, it's something that few people have today, but it's something that all of us need. And Joseph is a good example of a man that had character. He was real. He was exactly what he said he was. He didn't have any pretense and didn't have any falseness about him. He was just simply God's man, God's place, everywhere he went, served the Lord. So let's begin reading in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said to them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brother envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flock, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, behold, he was wandering in the field. The man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Now I want to stop reading there. In verse number 19, and we could go on through the chapter because we'll be noting some things tonight in this chapter as a whole, but we'll leave off reading there. When they said, they saw him coming from afar off, they said, Behold, the dreamer comes. They're making light of him and making fun of him. Now in Genesis chapter 37 through chapter number 50, which is the remainder of the book of Genesis, we have the record of the exciting story of Joseph, the 11th son and the beloved son of his father, Jacob. There's much written in the scriptures about Joseph, and I believe rightfully so. The scripture gives us much detail about the life of Joseph from this point on in his life. Not much said about him before this point, but from here on, we have many, many things that are given to us in the Word of God concerning Jacob. He is a good example. And he's a good example of how to conduct yourself, even amid trials and testings that come. He exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. He is almost a perfect picture and a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man by the name of Arthur Pink wrote a book years ago, and is entitled Gleanings in Genesis, one of the great books on the book of Genesis. And he gives over 100 examples or 100 ways how that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I gave some of them to our high school class this year. We're not going to get into those, but there's many, many things that are written in the Word of God that show us and tell us that Joseph, this man, was a bright and shining example to those around him, and that he was exactly a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our story begins here tonight. You'll find there in verse number 2 that Joseph was 17 years old. So just a young man, just we would consider him a teenager. Just same age as some of you all are, and just a young man. But yet he had already come to the point of having much conviction in his life. He'd already come to the point of having some character about him and would do those things that was right. He is mentioned only 4 or 5 other times before we get to this chapter. And there's nothing told of his early life. But from this point on, the Bible opens up and reveals to us this man, Joseph, that we're going to be studying about in these next few weeks, about Joseph, God's man, in God's place. And I don't know of a better thing, a better title to put upon a study of someone in the Word of God, be able to say that he was God's man. There's something about just being a person that belongs to God. There's something important about being able to be called God's person, that we belong to Him, that we are His. And there's just something about that. But then there's something more when we can say that we're God's person or God's man, God's lady, whatever the case may be, in God's place. Now, there's a lot of displaced people tonight. There's a lot of folks tonight that's not in the will of God, but they're saved, they've trusted the Lord, and God saved them, but they're out of their place. But it's a great thing, and it's a tremendous thing to be able to say that I belong to God, and He belongs to me, and I'm exactly in the center of God's will. I'm in God's place. And so we find Joseph, God's man, in God's place. One of the best ways to study the Word of God is to have a character study. Just pick you out a person, find you some things, run you some references on that individual, read what it has to say, put down some notes, and find out what the Bible says about that character that you're studying. And so we're going to do that. We're going to start tonight. I don't know exactly how many Sunday nights we'll be in this, but we're going to try to go through some of these verses, and we're going to find out how that Joseph was God's man and how that he was always God's man in God's place. And that's the main thrust of what I want us to get across in this series of messages. Now tonight, we want to look on the subject of Joseph the son. The son, Joseph. I'm glad that we have an account here given concerning Joseph's family. And have the account of Joseph's life from this point on, how that it is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that if he had character, I can have character. How that if he had conviction, I can have conviction. How that if he had these things in his life as a young person, you that are young people, you that are teenagers, you can have the same conviction, you can have the same character, you can have the same thing in your life, because if you're saved, it's the same God that you belong to as Joseph belonged to, and it's the God of heaven. And so tonight we want to look upon Joseph, the son. And he's God's man. Even though he's a young man, he's still God's man in God's place. First of all, I want us to notice the purity of Joseph. Now, you're not going to get very far with God unless there's some purity in your life. You're not going to amount to much in the service of God unless there's some holiness in your life. Now, we can't dilly-dally in the things of the world and get anything done with God. You can't straddle the fence and fall off on the world one day and then get up and get on that fence again, fall off on God's side the next day. You can't do that and be effective and be a good witness and be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph had character in his way in that he was pure in everything that he did. From the very first things that we learn about Joseph was that he had purity in his life. Look in verse number 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brother. And then it says, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Joseph didn't have to do that. Joseph wasn't commanded to do that. But Joseph had character. Joseph had this thing built within him that he just abhorred the evil that his brothers were doing. He despised the things that they were into. And you know, folks, tonight, we that are the children of God, we all despise the things of this world. We all abhor the things and the sin that the world sets before us. And we all to despise some of the things even that our brothers do and our sisters in Christ do. We all to, if we have to, go to the Father in heaven and bring that report to Him and pray for those individuals and ask God to help them and God to show them the right way and the right direction to go. So we find that Joseph is a man that has purity in his life. Now, you say, well, why did he bring that report? What was about it? Now, it doesn't tell us about what they were doing. It doesn't tell us what the evil they were involved in. But if you read just a little bit in the Word of God, you'll find that what he was telling his father was consistent with his brother's lives. Now, we got to get in mind. Now, we got to get this out of our mind. First of all, we're not dealing with kids here. We're not dealing with what we would consider little boys and little girls. We're dealing with Joseph, what was the 11th of his father's children, and he was 17 years old. So that means there was 10 others in that family that was older than he was. They were more than 17 years of age. And so they had gotten involved in a lot of things that the Bible doesn't give us. But the thing that Joseph did was that he hated their evil report, their evil doings, their evil character, their evil life. And he abhorred that. He hated that. And he brought that report back onto his father. But you'll find some of the things about Joseph's brothers and what he was telling them was consistent with their way of life. You'll find one of his brothers by the name of Reuben. The Bible tells us that he had committed incest with one of his father's wives. And he was a wicked man. He did those things that were not right. And there was wickedness in his heart. You'll find that Levi and Simeon, they had led a bloody slaughter at Shechem earlier. You'll find that Judah had a child by his own daughter-in-law. And so these things that Joseph was telling his father, whatever they were evil. And he said, I hate those things, and I'm going to take them to my father. You know what that takes? That takes courage. That takes purity. That takes somebody that has some standards in life and say, I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to listen to the junk. I'm not going to go to the places the rest of the world go. I don't have to do that because I'm a child of the King. I'm glad tonight we're saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, we do not have to do what the world does. We don't have to go where the world goes. We don't have to listen to what the world listens to. Thank God we can go to our Father in heaven and we can give that report and we can say, God, help me. God, give me. God, deliver me from these things. Joseph had some purity in his life. And that which he did, that which he told his father, was right. He wasn't some tattletale. He wasn't some gossip. He wasn't some talebearer. But he came to his father with that report that they were wicked and they were evil so that his father might do something about that. And folks, sometimes we have to go to our father on behalf of other people, that our father would take care of those that crowd that bothers us and that crowd that hates and despises the word of God. And many times that wickedness that comes around us, we just have to go to our father and say, Lord, you've got to take care of it because I cannot do that. And so we find here the virtue of his report, and was that he wasn't a gossip. He didn't go tell someone else that they might go tell the father. He didn't go. He wasn't a talebearer. He wasn't one that spread the gospel around on his brother. He went directly to the source. He went directly to the father that was there in the home. Now he spoke to the father. He said he gave the truth. And the Bible says here he gave to the father their evil report. He told him exactly what they had done, that it could be taken care of. And he did tell them because it was his responsibility. Look over with me, if you would, to verse number 14. Now here we find Jacob or Israel had called Joseph aside, and he said, "Our brother, your brothers are out in the field, and they're feeding the flock at Shechem." And he says, "I will send thee to them." And Joseph said, "Here am I." In verse 13. Now verse 14, he says, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flock, and bring me word again." Now Joseph was doing just exactly what his dad, what his father had told him to do. When he come down here to this place, he was following the orders and following the command of his father. And folks, tonight, if we would just simply say, "Here am I." If we just take the attitude that Joseph had, when our father calls upon us, we'd say, "Lord, here I am, here am I. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do that." And the father said, "Well, you go check up on your brothers. You go check up on what's going on, what's happening, and see if there's any reports you can bring back to me. And he was doing his responsibility, his duty. Now, one thing that we as a child of God, a believer, needs to get in our life is that we have a duty to serve God. We have a duty, we have a responsibility that when God calls upon us, we answer. It's just like when a teacher in school calls our name and we say, here, we're present, we're here, we're ready. When a teacher calls on us to give a note or an answer, we're to say, we're to give that answer. We're to be willing to do that, not rebel against that. And the same thing is with our Heavenly Father. When God calls us to do something, when God speaks to our heart, when God takes the word and pricks our heart about certain matters, areas in our life, we're just to say, Lord, here am I, just like Isaiah did there in Isaiah chapter number 6. And so we find that Joseph was a man that had some virtue and had some purity about him. He was a man that was willing to suffer consequences and suffer the ordeals that came to him because of being obedient unto his father. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to be obedient to the Lord, there's going to be persecutions that come. If you're going to be obedient to God, there's going to be those sneering ones. There are going to be those that might say, oh, here comes that dreamer. Behold, the dreamer cometh. Here comes that a holy Joe. Here comes that fella. Here comes that lady. All they talk about is the Lord. Here comes that one. We just need to get away from them. That's what the world desires. But God tells us and God reveals to us in His Word that we have a responsibility. We have a duty to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I can go and tell anybody that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Song says, give the winds a mighty voice. And that means to say and to give that wind the voice of God and the voice of salvation and let it carry out to whoever might hear, whoever would be there. We have that duty. We have that responsibility. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter number 1, he said, I'm a debtor. I'm debtor. What was he a debtor for? Because somebody had told him. Because he had the grace of God. He had the gospel given to him. He had that grace and that salvation. And he said, now I'm a debtor both to the Jew and to the Greek. The barbarian, those that are civilized, those that are not civilized. Paul said, I am a debtor unto them. I owe them that. And folks, we have that same duty, that same responsibility tonight that we give forth the glorious gospel to a lost and dying world. And if we do not do that, then we're guilty and blood will be on our hands. So the scripture tells us here about Joseph. A lot of things you could say about him. But I believe one of the greatest things you could say about Joseph was that he had a pure life. Had a pure life, had purity, had some standards, had some conviction, had some character. Someone told one of the vice presidents years ago, I believe it was Alvin Barkley. When Barkley was vice president, one of the preachers of Paducah, Alvin Barkley lived in Paducah. That's where he was from. And he was elected and chosen as vice president of the United States. And he turncoated on this thing of liquor. And that's when the battle was raging. It ought to still be raging, by the way. And that's when the battle was raging, and Barkley, he changed his mind and changed his vote, and all of a sudden he that was against the liquor crowd, now he's for them. And one of the preachers in Paducah looked at him eyeball to eyeball and said, Barkley, you'll never be president because you have no character. You have no character. And I'm telling you one thing tonight, there's a lot of people around that have no character and they'll never amount to anything for God simply because they have no convictions and character and ways and purity of life, and they just go with the crowd and go with the flow and do what the world does and do what the crowd does and says what the crowd says and goes the way it goes, and they'll never amount to anything for God because they don't have any convictions, don't have any character. Here Joseph was a man that had some character. He was a man that had some purity in his life. He didn't get involved. He could have. Well, he's a teenager. He could have gone out and done the same things that teenagers of that day did. I doubt it's like what they do today. But he was a young person. He was a young man. He hadn't come to what in the Jewish mind was even considered to even be close to an adult. And now here he is standing against his brothers. Standing against evil, standing against that crowd that is against God, and he brings that evil report to his father simply because he had a pure life. The reason many times folks that say they're saved do not do those things that they ought to is because their life has been spotted, because they're no longer pure. They have no purity in their soul. But along with purity came some other things with that. Secondly, we notice about Joseph where he had many, many privileges. He had some privileges, and his privileges, by the way, was related to his purity. And your privileges tonight will be related to how pure you are in the sight of God. God will let you do some things if you're right with God. God will give you some blessings if you're right with Him. God will give you some enjoyment of life. God will give you some things if you're right, if you're pure. God will give you some privileges just like His Father gave Him. You'll find there in these verses, verse 3 through 11, that we read a while ago, and we'll look at them again in just a moment. But you'll find that Joseph, two primary things that Joseph had that his brothers did not have, and it made them mad. It made them angry at him. It says they hated him. First of all was his coat, and then his dreams. That coat that he had, that brought anger to his brothers. And then the dreams that he had brought that much more anger upon them. His vesture, or his coat, and his visions. Those things that he had, that God had given him, and that God was going to use to show the world some things about Jesus Christ. Those were the very things that they hated, but he had privileges. You see, he was the only one of that family that had that coat. Now, he had his brothers and had those around him, but he was the only one that had that kind of a coat that was made especially for him. And if you used to study here a little bit, you'll find that in the language that has written and study some customs of that day, that coat that he had was probably a long sleeve coat, and is a very lengthy, almost ankle length coat. And that represented that he had the authority over his brothers, even though they hated that and despised that. You'll find that in the time when Joseph lived, in the time even of the Lord, when a person had a long sleeve coat, or it was a long coat, that meant they had authority. That meant they had the inheritance. That meant they was the leader of their family. And Joseph had that given to him. No wonder Reuben hated him. No wonder the older ones hated him, because his father by that recognized that he loved him and that there was something special for Joseph. And then he had his dreams. He had his visions. And those things really, really brought about envy and strife upon Joseph. And these privileges, though, brought about persecutions, and we'll see those in a few moments. But let's notice some things here about his coat and his vision. We've already noticed his coat. Let's look at his vision. We find here in verses 5 through 11 that he had two different dreams, had two different things, and it's given to us in verse 5 and then on down in those next verses. Verse 5 says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream." Now, the first mistake that he did was that he went and told his brothers. Now, that's humanly speaking, that'd be a mistake, because they hated him anyway. He had that coat of many colors, that long sleeve coat. And every time they saw him wear that, that just brought up the indignation against him and hatred in their heart against him, because they knew that he had been chosen, that he had been picked out to be the family leader, to have the leadership of that family. And now he has his dreams or his visions. And these are nothing more than the revelation of God to those men that did not even realize it. Again, get out of your mind that we're talking about little boys and little children here. We're talking about men, and they're old enough to know what's right and what's wrong. And now we find that his vision comes in verse 5. It says he dreamed a dream, told his brethren. They hated him yet the more. There's many, many times the Bible says here that they hated him, that they despised him. And it says, "And he said to them, Hear, I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, a sheaf stood round about and made obeisance unto mine." That meant they bowed down to him. That meant that that which had been given to him in the coat, now he was having dreams. He was having in their mind, he was just rubbing it in on them. And really what it was the revelation of God. God was trying to tell those young men something. God was trying to tell the father something, that God had his hand on this boy by the name of Joseph, only 17 years old, but God had already picked him out. He was going to be God's man, and everywhere he went, he was going to be God's man in that place. And he said, "We was binding sheaves in the field," and he said, "Mine stood up and yours bowed down." And the Bible says they hated him for those words. They hated him because he says, "You give obedience," or "You give honor to me." And one day they're going to find out they do that. One day they find out. Then he had another dream. He had a dream about the sun, the moon, the stars. And those 11 stars gave honor once again to Joseph. And all of those things, the scripture says, they hated him. These things brought about that he said, "I'm going to be exalted. I'm going to be lifted up. And you're going to bow to me." And I think, when I think of that, I think of Philippians, where it says, "For Jesus Christ is made higher than everything else." The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Let's turn there. Very familiar verses of Scripture. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 9, it says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him." I'll tell you what, Joseph was exalted, but he was exalted because of his purity. He had privileges that was going to be his, but it was connected by the way that he lived and the way that he served God. Now we find in the New Testament that God hath highly exalted him, talking about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, this one that Joseph is a type of. And he says he highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So here we find Joseph dreaming a dream, and he says, "I'm going to be exalted. You're going to bow down." And there we find one of the perfect types of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that God said, "I've highly exalted my Son. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess unto him." So we find here the privilege of Joseph was that he was going to be exalted. He was going to be brought high. He was going to be lifted up. But Joseph had no idea what he was going to go through to get there. There's where the type breaks down. There's no perfect type in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if there had been, then he would have been the Lord. But the type breaks down here because Joseph had no idea what was going to befall him. But the Son of God knew what was going to happen to him. Joseph didn't realize he was going to be put in a pit, but Jesus did realize he was going to be placed upon a cross. Joseph didn't realize he'd be sold into bondage, into slavery, but Jesus did realize that Judas, and Jesus did know that Jesus would sell him for a mere 30 pieces of silver. Joseph didn't know that he'd have to go into slavery and bondage there in Egypt, but God the Father and God the Son, Jesus knew that he was going to have to come to this world and literally be bound as a slave to mankind. And so we find Joseph, his privilege is connected so much and so clear unto the purity that he had. The purity that came to him brought about the blessings upon from his father. And by the way, my friend, purity tonight will bring blessings in your life. Purity in your life will bring blessings, and it'll bring the joys of God. It'll bring the privileges of the Lord. It'll also bring the same thing that we'll find out in a moment about Joseph. It'll bring the persecutions. But what about the privileges tonight that you and I have? We have more privileges than we can count. We have more blessings than we can think about. We have more that is at our disposal than any other generation, and we're doing less with it than any crowd that's ever lived. We have more money. We have more funds. We have more ways. We have more buildings. We have more comfort. We have more everything than all the generations before us, but we're doing less with it. We're doing less, far less, and we have privilege after privilege bestowed upon us, but all of a sudden we find ourselves lacking. You know why? Because our purity is not what those of days gone by were. We're not pure tonight. We don't have the holiness of God. You know, anytime you hear holiness anymore, somebody will snicker, somebody will make fun, somebody will call you a holy roller or a holy Joe, or they'll talk about it. But the Bible still teaches that a man, if he's going to see God, he's got to be holy. And that holiness comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to my heart. And if a person's saved, they will be holy. Now, a lot of folks don't want to think about that. A lot of folks say, "Well, I can get saved and then I'll just go do what I want to do." Yeah, probably will. But that doesn't mean you got saved. You can live any way you want to live. That doesn't mean you got saved. There's a lot of crutches that people use. I was reading a little old article yesterday in a paper, and it's talking about spiritual crutches that people use. And it's a pretty good article. People use baptism as a crutch to say they're all right. People use church membership as a crutch. People use some kind of experience and say, "Oh, I know I'm saved because I know one day I went down and I prayed." That doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of people come to an altar and pray and didn't get saved. You see, salvation is not just an experience that you have, but salvation is the working of God on your heart and the wooing of the Holy Spirit pulling you to Him, and then the Lord Jesus Christ moving in. You trusting Him and taking Him and placing Him as your Savior. And so we have privilege tonight, but we don't use them because we don't have any purity. We don't have any holiness. We don't have anything that's real. We don't have anything that we can look to. We don't have anything we can grab a hold of because we've let it go out the window because we want the easy way of the world. Nobody wants to live holy anymore. I'm talking about Christians now. No, there's very few people that really want to live holy and righteous unto God. Because when you do, we come to the third point tonight of Joseph's life. Joseph was pure. Joseph had privileges, and that brought about the persecutions on him. He said, "Boy, I wouldn't want to go through what Joseph did." Well, I don't know. I know the end of the story, and many of you do. Joseph had a pretty good life at the end of his life. Now, he had a lot of persecutions in between. But you see, his persecutions also was connected to his purity. Everything in his life was connected to his purity. Where there are blessings, you can be assured that there are battles. Where there are blessings that God wants to give you, there's a battle you're going to have to go through. There's a problem. There's something that's got to come and that come your way. And so we find this persecution that came to him. I'm sure it was irritating. I'm sure it was annoying. The Bible says in verse number 4 here, where we read, it says, "And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him." Verse number 5. Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Verse number 8. "And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? And it says, and they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." And I'll guarantee you tonight, if you live for God, if you stand up for the Lord, this world will hate you because not of your dreams. We don't have to have dreams. We don't have vision. But they'll hate you because of the word of God and because of your words. If you're living for God and you're speaking out for the Lord and you say to those folks around you, "I don't want to hear that garbage," they're going to persecute you. They may not sell you into bondage, but you wish they would time to get done with you. You see, there's a lot of things worse than being sold into bondage. You might have to stay there and listen to all the junk they give you anyway. See, Joseph got out of it. They sold him. He didn't have to see that anymore. He didn't have to be in that anymore. But we around here, we just have to go through the persecutions of people's talk and people's actions against us. And so we find that when blessings come, battles also come. They were annoying him. They hated him. And then verse number 10 says his father rebuked him. I looked up that word rebuke. That means his father literally screamed at him. He said, "You mean I..." Say, "Preacher, why don't you go visit this one, that one? They're my family. I wish you'd go talk to them." You know why we do that? Because it's easier for somebody else than it is us. But now here we have Joseph telling his vision. He told it to his father, to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee in the earth?" He rebuked him for his words. But I like that next verse. But his father observed the saying. Amen. Amen. He knew that there's something different about that young man. He didn't like what he said. He didn't like what he told him. But he observed what he said. That saying, he sort of gave attention to it. He may have shown anger at his son. He may have rebuked him. But yet down in his heart, he said, "I wonder what that boy's talking about." He had already had his visions and dreams. He had already seen some things. And Jacob had seen some character in this young man that he didn't see in his other sons. And he rebuked him, but yet he sort of pondered over those things. He just maybe in the back of his mind said, "That boy's probably right." And the world many times will rebuke us, but they'll ponder what we say. The world will sneer and jeer at us, but yet down in the depths of their heart and their soul, they'll say, "He's probably right." They'll say, "Oh, he's probably telling me the truth." But outwardly, they're going to stand up and rebuke. You know why? Because that's expected of them. See, we live in a society that men and women alike we're geared to sort of be just strong. We're not to have fear. We're not to have tears. We're not to have any of those things that show weakness in people, but those things don't show weakness. But many times you'll say something to a person and they'll just bite back at you, but down deep you've cut them to their soul. You've cut them to their heart, and they sort of look at what you have to say like this man did to his son. Said his brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying. He looked at it and he knew that something was probably right in what he said. Oh, Joseph had courage. He was a very courageous young man because we find that he went ahead and did what he knew was right. He did what his father told him to do. I read these verses to you a moment ago. Verse 13 and 14. His brothers had to go to find a pasture for the sheep. And the father says they've gone to Shechem. Now that's about 50, 60 miles away from where they were. They traveled a long distance. And he said, son, I want you to go. And he said, here am I. Now, this statement here that he said and what his father wanted to do required him four things. I want you to notice, first of all, it required him submission. He said, here am I. Now, if we're going to ever serve God, we're going to have to say, Lord, here am I. If we're going to serve God, if we're going to do anything for God, and we may be pure, we may have privileges, and there may be persecutions, but you're going to have submission in your life. You're going to have to say, yes, Lord. You're going to have to say, thy will be done, Lord. You're going to have to say, Lord, I take my hands off of it, and I'll do what you tell me to do. Submission to the things of God. And here Joseph, this young man, 17 years old, his father said, now son, I want you to go out and see how the boys are doing. Go find out how the flock's doing. And then you come again and you tell me what's going on. And it required submission because he said, here am I. Not only that, but it required sacrifice. He had to leave his home. It required him leaving the cares and the comforts of his home and being with his father and being with his family, his mother, being with those around him that he knew and that protection of that home. And he said, I'll just go ahead. And he sacrificed his own home. It required steadfastness in that he went a little farther than he was supposed to go. You see, his father said, now, son, you go to Shechem, you'll find your brothers there. Father didn't know, but the brothers had already left. They'd gone to another place called Dothan, that about 20 miles farther. And here, Joseph, he went just a little bit farther so he'd be obedient. Steadfastness. He said, I've been sent out to do a work for my father. I've been sent out to do certain things, and I'm going to be steadfast, and I'm going to find those young men, and I'm going to see how they're doing. So it required submission, it required sacrifice, it required steadfastness, and then it required a stout heartedness. Because he went to those that didn't even want him. He went to those that hated him. Now you get in the picture of what I'm telling you tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Father, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go to a world that doesn't even want me. I'll be submissive. I'll surrender my throne, my glories. And I'll come down to a wicked world and I'll die on the cross of Calvary. Just being submissive and sacrificing himself to a lost and dying world. The Bible says that Jesus went a little farther. When they went so far into the wilderness, Jesus went just a little bit farther. And anywhere you go in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, anywhere you find the Lord, he's always just a little bit farther than you think. He's always there. He's always gone the second mile. He's always gone that extra little bit. He's always done just a little more than we'd expect him to. That's my Lord. That's my Jesus. That's my Savior. He'll do those things because he loves us. And then he's stout-heartedness and has that because he came to a world that hated him, just like Joseph's brothers hated him. But yet he said, I'll go. He said, I'll go. He wore his coat, the coat of position. That coat that had been given to him, Joseph, come across the field and come across those miles. And he had that coat on, not to bring accusation from those other brothers, but to show his position of righteousness. And folks, Jesus Christ came with the righteousness of God. He came to this world, and this world received him not, his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I'm glad tonight I have a coat, and it's a coat of inheritance. It's a robe of righteousness. It's a robe that's been given to me, and the world sees it, and they despise it. As long as you go along with the crowd, you're not going to stir up any trouble. As long as you live like the rest of the crowd does, you're not going to cause any trouble. But all of a sudden, if God gets a hold of your heart and you realize the sin and you realize that which is around and you say, I'm pure, I'm holy, I'm righteous, I'm saved, I'm not going to get into that anymore. All of a sudden, that crowd that used to love you, they'll hate you because of your righteousness. They'll hate you because of that coat you're showing them. They'll hate you because of that position that you say you have and that you show that you're having. And here Joseph comes across the field. He has that long sleeve coat on, has it down to his ankles. It shows his authority. It shows that he had the inheritance of the Father. It showed it had the blessings of the Father. It showed it had the love of the Father. And they said, here comes that dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. Here he comes. What are we going to do? And so they began to scheme. And they began to get in their heart and their minds what they would do. Look at verse number 20. It says here, Now come now, therefore, let us slay him, cast him in some pit. And we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. I will tell him, we'll show him that fellow's dream. We'll just kill him. He won't ever have any sheaves. He won't never have obedience. We'll never bow to him because he'll be dead. You see, that's how the world thinks about the child of God. They say they're not going to amount to anything. They're going to leave here. Yeah, we're going to leave here all right. Thank the Lord. When we get to where God is, we're going to have that privilege and those pleasures of the Lord. So we find the persecution. They mocked him. They mocked the proclaimer of the divine truth. Look at verse number 19. Here comes the dreamer. The dreamer cometh. They were mocking that man that had given them a revelation from God, and they were too ignorant to even recognize what God had done. They were too foolish to recognize the Word of God, and so they mock him. The principles and the precepts of the Word of God, his dreams, they're not God's dreams, they're his dreams. And you've had people, and I've had people tell me, so, well, that's just how you feel. You know what they're doing? They're mocking the Word of God. Amen. Oh, you say you got to be born again to go to heaven. That's just your interpretation of the Word of God.
Amen.
You take these 66 books right here, from Genesis to Revelation, and you find me one instance where we are told to interpret the Word of God. We are not. We're not commanded to interpret the Word of God. The Word of God interprets itself. We're just to believe it.
Amen.
If God says we're sinners, then I don't have to interpret that and say what is a sinner. I just have to know and have to preach and have to teach that I'm a sinner outside of the will and the fold of God. And so we find that we do not interpret the Word of God, we just preach it, we'll proclaim it. I've had people say, well, preacher, that's just how you believe about it. Well, if I've got the book to back me up, it doesn't matter how I believe. Well, preacher, that's just your idea. And that's what they're saying about Joseph. Here comes the dreamer. Well, what's going to happen to his dreams then? Well, what's going to happen to his interpretation? I had a fellow tell me one time years ago, said, well, when you die, you'll find out I'm right. I said, vice versa. I said, well, two can play that game. What they're saying, they belittle what God says. The dreamer. Let us kill him. We'll put him in some pit. We'll destroy him. We'll do away with him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. We'll just forget about him. We'll tell Dad that some beast came along and ripped him and tore him apart. Boy, if Jacob had just been a little smarter, he'd realize that was a lie. Because how in the world did the coat get so bloody and he'd get all torn apart and that coat still be all intact? So we find that they come along and they're going to persecute him. They hate him. Look at verse number 35. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, for I will go down unto the grave unto my son's mourning. Thus his father wept for him. You see, when persecution came to Joseph, Jacob was hurt by it. You see the character that these other men did not have? They didn't care how much it hurt Jacob. They didn't care how much Jacob's heart was torn out. They didn't care how much he wept and mourned for that boy that he thought was dead. They had no care whatsoever. And I guarantee you tonight that the devil's crowd don't care who gets hurt. They don't care anything about the people of God, and they don't care how much it hurts. They say things, they do things, and it doesn't bother them how it cuts us. It doesn't matter how it destroys us. It doesn't matter how it cuts at our heart, and we weep, and we mourn for certain things that are said. I've had people that are Christians say things, and they have the same ideas as the devil's crowd. They don't care. They don't care how it cuts and how it hurts. But here, poor Jacob, an old man, his sons, his daughters, they rose up to comfort him. Those hypocrites. Those sons, they were hypocrites. They said, now, Dad, and they began to try to comfort him. Well, they had put all of it on him themselves. And they said, now, just don't worry. He'll be all right. Why, he's a good boy. And they just began to comfort him. But he said, I'll go to my grave mourning for him. So when persecution came, Joseph wasn't the only one that was affected. Jacob was hurt by it. And then the brothers never got away from that. They never did escape that guilt complex, that guilt feeling, that guiltiness that was on them. Turn with me. Genesis 50, verse 15. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15, this is the death of their father. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." A lot of years has gone by from Genesis chapter 37 to Genesis chapter 50. But they still have that guilt in their heart for what they did. Come down to the death of their father, and they said, "Surely Joseph will hate us. Oh, he'll hate us because of what we did to him." And I'll tell you what, we can do things, we can say things, but sometimes we never get out of that guilt. We can destroy people's lives, and folks have been destroyed many times, but they never, people don't get away from that guilt. We never forget. One of the most harmful things in an individual's life is guilt. Guilty. The Bible says that the devil, he's the accuser of the brethren. Have you ever felt guilty for something you didn't do? Yeah. Have you ever felt guilty for something that you knew had been forgiven? Have you ever felt guilty because of things in your life, but you knew you'd taken it to the Lord? And we believe the Word of God, and God says He cast our sins into the depths of the sea, and we confess them to Him, and He puts them far as east is from the west, but yet we feel guilty. You know why? Because the devil comes along and accuses us. These young men here now, years have passed on. You'd think, well, they'd forget about what they did. Oh, no, no. They never did forget what they did to Joseph. And I'm here to tell you, there's a world out here before us that they'll spend all of their eternity without God, and they'll have that guilt for not trusting Jesus Christ. That crowd that put Jesus on the cross of Calvary, and they rejected, they spit upon Him, they placed the crown of thorns out there in hell tonight if they didn't get saved there at that scene of Calvary. They're in hell, and that guilt is upon them that I did that to the Son of God. In this world that dies without God, they hate the child of God. They hate the Son of God. They hate everything that's righteous and holy. They're going to go throughout all eternity with guilt upon them that they're guilty of sin, and they could have had it forgiven.
Amen. Amen.
Here these men, they're guilty. And they say, "Oh, He's going to hate us. Our father's dead now. He's going to hate us because we deprived Him all those years with Father." So Jacob was hurt by their persecution. They were hurt by it, and of course Joseph was sold as a result of it. Joseph was hurt, and many things happened. You come down to the end of chapter 37 in the book of Genesis. You'll find Joseph's father on his way to years of sorrow. He said, "I'll go to my grave mourning my son." He's headed out. Now we're leaving chapter 37. We'll go to another place next week. And you'll find that these now are years ahead of them. And old Jacob, he's going to have sorrow. He never gets over that supposed death of his son. He goes out and he's headed out now for years of sorrow. Joseph's brothers, they're on their way to years of shame. You can read some of the things that happened. Years of shame. And now Joseph, when you come to the end of chapter 37... you know the story how they sold him to those Midianite merchantmen. In verse number 28, and they lifted up Joseph out of the pit. They sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. And then Reuben returned unto the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. He rent his clothes and he returned to his brother and said, "The child is not. And I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat, killed the kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors that they... And they brought it to their father. And this have we found. Know not whether it be the son's coat or not. Oh, they had years to think about that. They had many years of shame what was coming upon them. Now Joseph is taken and he's put into slavery as a result of his purity. As a result of his privileges. He had persecution. But God's got some things in store for Joseph. God's got some things that Joseph doesn't understand, that Joseph doesn't know. God has a man, and God had a place for that man. And everywhere God put him, he was a man of God. So we're going to be finding, we're going to be looking into this man named Joseph. God's man, God's place. Really, tonight's just been an introduction going in. Now we're going to start the journey. Long years of sorrow, shame, and slavery. But as we come out on the other side, thank God for the victory in the Lord Jesus. Tonight, Joseph is a good type picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things going on now. We have a lot of shame. We have a lot of sorrow. We have a lot of slavery. You know, a lot of people are bound by Satan. A lot of people are bound by their own self. And I mean, they're just in bondage. And I'm glad, thank God, I know one that'll take care of that. And his name is Jesus Christ. The one that God said, I highly exalt him. I lift him up. And as we get into this story and we see the things of Joseph, we'll see how that he was God's man in God's place. And we'll understand, as he understood, that God had control of every bit that happened. God controlled it all. Joseph one day saw his brothers and they knew him. And he said, nah, he said, this was God. He said, you didn't do it. You just was a work, and God had it all in control. I'm glad tonight I serve that kind of God. I'm glad I serve a sovereign, righteous, holy God, that everything that goes on in my life, whether it be privileges, whether it be persecutions, whether it be purity, whether it be shame or sorrow, sadness, God has it all in control. That's the God that we serve, the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph, God's man, God's place. Let's stand tonight. Our Father, we thank you for the scriptures that so give us real stories, not fairy tales, but real stories of real men. Amen. And Lord, we find courage and we find understanding from the reading of the Word of God. Dear Lord, we've just barely touched the hem of the garment tonight in these verses, how that his brothers hated him. Dear God, we find that your son came and the world hated him. I find tonight that the world still hates him. But I'm glad to thank God there are some of us that love him. And he loves us. Father, bless tonight as we've given forth the message and the study of this man, this character in the Old Testament, that is a picture of your son and my Savior. Lord, may we learn from him. May we learn how that we must be pure. And also realize that along with purity, many times comes persecution. God, may we be your person in your place at all times. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
401.
Page number 401 tonight. As we deal and study about the life of Joseph, we ought to check ourselves, see what kind of person we are. Are we pure? If we're pure, we're going to have privileges. There's going to be some joy. There's going to be some good things. But you just rest assured, as the good things come from the Lord, the evil things come from Satan. Sometimes we get discouraged, downhearted. Satan accuses us. He brings accusation. When all we need to do is go to the Lord and say, God, you're my Father. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to keep my character. I'm going to be what I ought to be. I'm going to be God's man, God's woman, and God's place. Wherever position I'm in, whatever comes my way, I'm just going to honor the Lord. If we'll do that, we'll see the blessings from heaven to us. Let's sing tonight. Page number 401.
Trust. the Lord bless you tonight. Pray you have a good week. Just be a son. Tonight, Joseph, he's a...